This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We've got some great music coming up. Loudon Wainwright is going to perform some new songs, including one about New York after September 11th. But first, let's face it, we've all been feeling a little tense. So we called up psychiatrist Robert J. Lifton, who's been devoting his life to studying terrorism, Nazis, and the anxiety caused by the existence of nuclear weapons. He's about to join the Harvard faculty as a visiting professor. His books include Destroying the World to Save It, Om Shinrikyo, Apocalyptic Violence, and the New Global Terrorism. I think a lot of us are really confused by the mixed messages we're getting. Go about your normal business, but another terrorist attack is imminent. Or go back to regular life, but the House of Representatives is shut down because of anthrax. What's the sensible way of behaving in the light of these mixed messages?
Well, of course, it's confusing. And one has to start by saying that the whole bioterrorism has to do with a new dimension of vulnerability affecting one's body that people can feel, even though the letters aren't going to them. They're going to news companies or officials. But when you're told conflicting instructions, you don't know what to do. It plays into a double life we're living already. In other words, we all go about our work, our everyday requirements, and yet there's a corner of the self or part of the self that is terrified, that really responds to the terror, and that wonders where the next blow will come from. And these confused instructions add to that dissociation in each of us, that separation into two selves, which are confusing because they can't really join into one person who's responding reasonably.
Do you have any advice on how to deal with that double life?
Well, I think that the sooner and the better our ability to bring together these two aspects of the self, the healthier we can be. That means trying to take in a real danger and yet evaluate it reasonably. And interestingly, and maybe surprisingly, the voices that have been most steady and that have had, I think, the most constructive effect on us have been some of the doctors. Not all of them, but most of them have spoken in a level way about what the danger is and why it's limited. And people can respond and really improve their feelings from that. But on the other hand, most of our political leaders have given us pep talks like cheerleaders. And I don't think people believe them. They say everything will be fine and America's great, don't worry. But they're not really giving a level statement about what we're really confronting. And then in their behavior, as you said, in closing down the House of Representatives, I think that was very troubling, even frightening to Americans.
You've studied terrorism, you've studied nuclear war, Nazi doctors, cult groups that unleash evil like Om Shinrikyo. Do you think we're encountering like a new kind of evil where the attackers don't even take credit for the attacks, they don't give demands, there's no way of directly addressing them?
Well, that's right. I mean, first of all, the attackers can be elusive and unclear as to who they are. But there's also this apocalyptic dimension, which really means there are no restrictions on what they do. One of the sources of fear with germ warfare is that it's going against a taboo that we've had, and it violates that taboo, and there's a sense that the terrorists would have no limits in what they do, because what we might consider the necessity for moral limits, they would see as in the service of a higher spiritual cause that justifying anything they do. So, yes, this can confuse us further, and yet I think we're capable of taking in a reasonable estimate of what's going on.
Because you've studied so many different forms of evil, are you in awe at how creative evil people can be in the forces that they want to unleash?
I'm not in awe of it. I think one has to recognize that in this case, the terrorists have been ingenious, certainly in that weird and almost kitsch-like attack on the World Trade Center. It was imaginative, but some of the imagination could have come from American grade B films, television programs, and computer games, video games, in which we have planes crashing into buildings. So, yes, they're ingenious, but they may be appropriating some of our own imagination. And I think also there's a danger of overestimating the terrorists, seeing them as omnipotent, seeing them as able to manipulate us in every possible way, and our being unable to combat them in any effective way. I think that's wrong.
I mean, we give them more power than they have.
We may give them absolute power, because right now I think we are being manipulated by them, because, you know, I think the best response to terror is a kind of steady and strong approach which tries to get at the terrorists. But I think if we get bellicose and bombastic as our war rhetoric, which I think is mistaken, and I think I'm very uneasy about the war itself that we're fighting, it doesn't seem to be a focus on the terrorism as such. And in that sense, the terrorists evoke from us a kind of maximum response of fear and aggressiveness, whereas the ideal response would be a kind of quiet strength and combating them in every kind of way in a more quiet tone. And we haven't really achieved that.
Robert J. Lifton, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Robert J. Lifton is about to become a visiting professor of psychiatry at Harvard.